Right now, we are joined on the air by Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle to help wrap us up this week. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Aaron. It's been a busy couple days, and it's going to be a busy couple more days for me.
You've got a lot happening over the course of the today and tonight and through the weekend, right?
Yeah. One thing I did this morning, I was telling you about, I went and read a book at Northside Elementary School. It's their annual readathon, and I think the actual week is next week, but it kind of kicks off today, and they invite local, folks to come in and speak to the classes. I read a book to a fourth grade class this morning, and it's to celebrate the readathon. And I guess their focus this year is reading is super powerful, and they're focusing on being a reading superhero.
Awesome.
So, really that was
cool.
A lot of fun.
Do you get to do that every year?
I've done it a couple of years. Yeah. And it's really fun. You walk in, and I've always loved libraries all my life. And, you walk in, and it's like, oh, I remember that book
book,
and it's great.
Remember when the bookshop used to be open on Franklin Street all those many weeks ago before before it closed? But I would, a lot of times I would go back to the nook in the back that had the children's area, and I would reminisce about, I read that book and read that book. It's really cool.
And, in fourth grade, this dawned on me because I was reading a picture book, but it was a really kind of heavy picture book about love. Around fourth grade, third, fourth, fifth, you're shifting into those, oh my gosh, this book is really long and big.
Right,
so it's kind of you remember the picture books, but you're ready for the bigger books too. So it was a lot of fun.
Fifth grade, I think, was the first book that I was ever assigned to read that had a swear word in it. Oh, that was a scandal right there.
Oh, wow.
The Witch of Blackbird Pond. It was
oh
a good
my
book.
Gosh.
Yeah. So that was today. We'll talk about events coming up this weekend and into next week as well. But let's go back a few days because the sort of the big town county meeting that took place earlier this week on Tuesday was the Assembly of Governments meeting with a whole bunch of items on the agenda. So obviously every single municipality goes into that meeting with different high priorities. What were yours with Carborough's?
Well, one thing that struck me when we all met there together was, well, first of all, every member of the Board of Aldermen was there. Sometimes we're not all there. I think every town council member from Chapel Hill was there, except for maybe one that was sick or couldn't be there. And most of the other the commissioners, I think, in other words, it was a really well-attended meeting. And one thing we voted on was to try to always hold this in January or February because it's hard to hold it in November, December, or November when, especially in an election year and all that. So it was great because I think one of the intents of the meeting was also to educate and to bring a lot of the people around the table up to speed on a lot of these issues that have gone on for, in some instances, decades or years or whatever, and to give some background and some context. We started off the meeting with a discussion of a celebration of the rural buffer, which kind of came about because of our local planning agreement that was signed by all of the jurisdictions 40 years ago. So there was some talk a little bit about how that came to be and how it has proved to be such a good planning instrument for the county since that time. And Barry Jacobs and Mark Macropoulos and, several others, Sally Green, I think, had been involved when she was on the council. But, several folks are going to really want to take an opportunity this year to kind of remind people about the, the goals and objectives behind that. And anyway, that was a bit of history and talking about where we are with that.
It's actually really interesting to think about, 40 years ago, and just sort of the state of planning in general, right? Because 40 years ago, we're still, I think America is still sort of in the mindset of expand suburbanization and the automobile focused planning decisions, and for Orange County to go in the other direction and say we're going to resist sprawl, I think is pretty significant.
Very forward thinking. And I think it was brought about because there was starting to be, I think, some bumps against, how far do we go out here? How do we preserve this? How do we grow in an orderly manner? And so there was a coming together really of the jurisdictions to kind of sit down and really have to spend a lot of time figuring out where the lines would be drawn, kind of ahead of the requests coming, and so that, as things unfold, we kind of know how we're going to grow. And I actually use it as an example in my state and local governmental law class I teach because, a lot of communities are very, we're so fortunate that we are all largely on the same page about major issues, especially land use planning. And, you know, environmentalism and so forth. And but a lot of communities don't have this. You know, a lot of communities, a lot of counties don't even have really zoning, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's to have a planning document like we have that takes into account things like the university, like watershed, as well as, you know, some, you know, a smart growth practice that's meant to decrease suburbia, I think is a really, really good one.
And I think, I guess, the only downside of the rural buffer is now you've got limited space to put development, including housing, so then affordable housing becomes more and more of an issue as the towns grow
exactly,
bigger.
Exactly. And that point was made by many that, mm-hmm. you know, with that planning comes a cost. And also one of the agenda items had to do with an area where which might impact some of the rural buffer or the certainly the maybe the depending on how it goes forward, and it has to do with the expansion, the building of a park up on Millhouse Road, and the question of whether a park should be added to, or should be even, in my view, maybe even considered a public purpose, such that you are allowed to bubble a little bit into that, into that urban, what would otherwise not be a growth area. So that's a matter. That was one of the first matters we discussed. It largely involves Chapel Hill and Orange County, but it's something that if it involves amending the joint planning agreement, then we all have to sign off on it.
Speaking with Lydia Lavelle, Carborough Mayor, talking about the Assembly of Governments meeting, which was this past Tuesday. Obviously, affordable housing is a sort of significant issue there, and sort of the immediate, and this is definitely a Chapel Hill issue right now, the immediate sort of urgent crisis involving the affordable housing issue is the Lakeview Mobile Home Park up on Weaver Dairy Road, which is being immediately threatened by potential development, and all of those residents might end up losing their space and having to find something new. So that's the immediate question that has to be resolved. Where does Carborough stand with regard to mobile home parks, manufactured homes, tiny homes? And speaking with Mayor Heminger yesterday in Chapel Hill, we're talking about the extent to which a property owner who owns a mobile home park, oftentimes those residents are on month-to-month leases. They could theoretically be kicked out at any time. So to take town-owned property and leverage that for, in this case, a mobile home park, makes residents there mm-hmm. more long-term secure. Is that something that Carborough does or might do?
Well, I absolutely love the concept of it. It's extremely compelling. There, you know, as you said, within Carborough, we have two parks that I can think of. You know, we have, of course, Rocky Brook, which is at the bottom of South Greensboro Street, and then we have one that's over beside McDougall Middle School. Now, I'll speak about that one for just a minute because we did have a proposal that came before us. The Viridia Complex was going to be built where the mobile home park was, and we had extensive conversation with them about relocating the folks that were living there, and in fact that was really a point of great empathy for the developers who were looking to develop that project, and we have not heard from them in a few years, so I'm not sure if it's fallen on by the wayside or if they've gone on to other things or whatever, but at that time we kind of recognized that we had we had to do some forward thinking about what to, and then I guess as that project stalled, that's like many kind of issues we have, it wasn't on the front burner. Mm-hmm. But this one is on the front burner, this one with Lakeview. And then when we think about Rocky Brook, which is right across the street from South Green, which is going to be, the shovels have already hit the ground.
Yeah,
Let's say it's developed in the next year or two. We have to kind of think through perhaps a long-term plan. You know, what if something happened with Rocky Brook? What would we do with those members of our community? Because that information is so compelling. The most vulnerable members of our community, yet members of our community that take a lot of great deal of pride in how they live. Mm-hmm. And it's, it's a very tightly knit community. And I think another, huge demographic, which was, kind of solidified for me when I thought this, but once we saw the statistics, but some 80 to 85% of folks living in at least a lot of the trailer parks that were surveyed are members of our Latino Hispanic community. Mm-hmm. And, many of whom, may or may not be documented. So mm-hmm. I think it's really important that if we're going to talk the talk we talk, we need to walk the walk.
Yep, absolutely. So what else was discussed at the Assembly of Governments meeting?
Well, the way the meeting closed out was briefly talking about the green track discussion. Mm-hmm. And Mayor Heminger and Chair Dorison and I have been meeting for roughly the last year with staff every couple of months as they've kind of come forward with their thinking and their kind of, as they've gone out and kind of explored the land and seen what parts of the land are perhaps workable or not for affordable housing, for mixed use, for a school site. And they kind of came to us, our last meeting that we had with them, with three different scenarios. I'll just put it like, low, medium, and light, depending on, how intense we want whatever development we do on that, mostly housing, affordable housing or mixed-use housing and then with the school and around all the natural features of the site. Also kind of taking into account the Headwaters Preserve area that the county already bought and whether there might be an opportunity for a land swap out there of some sort to make the contiguousness of available land make more sense. Mm-hmm. And so we had reached a point where, we wanted what they had been bringing back to us to come to our Assembly of Governments so that all the boards could see what we had been seeing. And now we didn't get a chance to vote or talk about it the other night because it was very late. But now we have made we kind of made a goal within the next 2 months for each of us to talk with our respective boards and get the board's feelings about these different proposals that were put forward for with a site plan, if you will, so that we can get some approval between the four jurisdictions and then move forward on it.
You can head to the town's website, townofcarborough.org, for more information about the Assembly of Governments meeting. Also, an upcoming Board of Aldermen meeting on Tuesday at 7:30. The agenda just got posted online earlier today, so head to townofcarborough.org for that. Mayor Lavelle, we got to let you go in a minute, but before we do, I know there's a couple of events coming up just in the next couple of days that you're going to be at that are particularly cool, especially on Monday, right?
Yeah, the Monday one's cool. Let me talk really quickly about this one tomorrow, Saturday. Mm-hmm. Congressman Price is going to hold a community town hall tomorrow at our Century Center. And this is actually his 10th one he's held during this term of Congress. And this is an opportunity for residents of Carborough, but of course all the 4th District, to convey views and concerns about issues and to meet with staff. And again, that will be tomorrow at our Century Center. I'll be there because I'm introducing him. So it's from 10 to 11:30. So I wanted to make sure people knew about that opportunity. And then, of course, Monday night is the next event in our celebration of Frederick Douglass throughout this year. And this is Carborough celebrating Frederick Douglass at 200. The topic is, why is Frederick Douglass important to us today? And I get to help kick off that event also. And then we have Michelle Lanier, the executive director of the North Carolina African American Heritage Commission, mm-hmm. speaking. James Williams there to talk about, of course, Frederick Douglass.
And then
we'll be really honored to have, poet Jackie Shelton Green there from she's from Hillsborough, I think, but coming to speak and give us, I'm sure a very relevant or timely poem of some sort.
That's going to be awesome.
No, that'll be a great event.
7 p.m. at the Century Center on Monday, so definitely check that out. Mayor Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.